Well, this morning, we're going to go back into teaching on a subject I was on. We had Ken Kasich was with us last week and ministered, and which I was really glad we had him in. There were some things and stuff that he shared was very helpful to me on some things. And, you know, if anything we want to do is hook up with the plan and will of God. We're teaching, and I had started a series. I don't know how long we're going to be on it from what the Lord's talked to me about. He really wants some things hammered about this subject, even though we know about things and we know them, is one of the things that Randall Greer had said about faith and in the teaching areas of faith. He said, he told us ministers in one of the meetings, he said, you guys, you know, we all know the principles of faith and everything like that. But the Lord said to this, yes, people know the things about faith and the term faith and all that stuff, but most people aren't doing it. Faith is not some intellectual thing. In fact, you know, because the more I get around intellectual people, I found out usually they're the hardest ones to get them to over into the area of faith because they're always living out of their intellect, how smart they are, what all they got, what all they know. Hallelujah. I didn't have that problem. I didn't know too much when I came into the kingdom, so I... Thank God I didn't have that problem. And, you know, it says God chose the foolish things. And I've told him already, I said, man, was I on the top of your list or something? I'm the chosen part of it. Because, you know, coming in with God chose us. I would have never picked me to teach the Word of God. You know, I mean, when I sit down and think about it, I mean, today, the teaching of the Word, a lot of ministers to me, I think, are pretty frivolous. I'm not trying to be mean, but they don't realize the importance to me. I am awestruck that God would have called me and anointed me to preach His Word to people. I would have never done that. I would have never chosen me. I would have thought somebody else would have been a much better candidate. But God chose me, and the fact that He did, I mean, that just blows my mind. You know, I realize with presidents and leaders of nations, I'm going to tell you, God chose me to go speak His words to people. I stand in a higher office than the President of the United States. See, most ministers and most people, most Christians don't view it like that. They have much other things that they honor, that they think is greater. Because the Word of God is not on the top of agenda of most Christians. And that's what's sad. And that's why Christianity, there's such a great deficit in the areas of spirituality. Spirituality is based on the Word of God, not in signs and wonders. It's not based in gifts of things. It's based in the Word of God. Everything must be measured against the Word. And if it don't fit the Word, I don't care what it seems that it is. We know this, that the Antichrist is going to do signs and wonders. And many people are going to follow him. So signs and wonders aren't the measure of what's God. It's His Word. So whatever isn't in line with the Word, and that's why we teach the Word. And the areas of faith, I titled it, What is Faith? Because really what we're dealing, this is sort of Faith 101. Yet Faith 101, and I can say with the truth what the Lord spoke to me about, is 80% of Christians really don't moan much about it. They use the term, and we use the term, but they don't even know how it works. I know over the years of ministers and stuff, of things been around and that stuff, and I realize that. They use the term of faith, but they used it very little in their lives. Very little. In fact, some of them don't even have a clue what it is. They don't know what it really means to trust God. And the Word does tell us and deals with the subject of what it really is to trust God. And many times I've heard people say, I'm trusting God. Well, there's things that I measured against the Word, what the Word says, and I realized they weren't trusting God at all. Yet they believe they were because they used terminology from the Bible. Therefore, they conclude that I know these words. Then therefore, if I say them, it must mean something that I'm, you know, doing it. No, it's and this is one of the things we want to look at. I didn't emphasize the last time, but one of the scriptures, in the area of scriptures, I didn't say one of the scriptures. I taught the last time and used it Romans, the third chapter. In Romans, the third chapter, what we dealt with is the fact is we looked in the scriptures because the misuse of scriptures. Scriptures are constantly misused, and they're misused by people coming along, and everybody's heard the scripture. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. And when you read it in its context, that is not true. That is not true that there's nobody righteous. Because the Bible definitely tells it, and we go on to read through. If you read the whole chapter, you find out he was talking about people under the law. There was none righteous. If you are not righteous, you are not going to heaven. You will not be there. We have been made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. In the church, there are righteous. There are people who are righteous. I have been made the righteousness of God. That was by God's choice. How did that happen? Through faith. Now, I can't go back over and teach all that. I don't need to. It's online. You can download it free off of there. But we dealt with that subject because, number one, you will never have strong faith if you believe, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you're never going to. I am not an old sinner. I was an old sinner. Now I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been justified. I've been sanctified, the Bible says. I've been set apart to God. You see, this is one of the great problems, is most Christians believe they're still sinners. And they sure live the life out too. They match the life of their beliefs. I know in churches, really nice people, good people. And well, you know, we're all just going to sin. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say that a Christian's just going to sin. If you're just going to sin, I doubt very much you're a born-again person. You ain't been changed. You're not just going to sin. The Bible tells us that sin's not going to lord over us. Most churches, and I'm talking about what they call themselves Bible churches, they say you're just going to sin. No, you're not. If you're just going to sin, you know, you need to get your life right. You need to start living what's on the inside instead of following the flesh all the time. And so, but these people can't do it because they're taught wrong. They're taught sin will dominate you. Sin will not dominate you. Sin, I refuse to let sin dominate you. I ain't going to make Jesus Christ a liar in front of everybody else. Say, well, we're just going to sin. You know, his death, burial, and resurrection hardly did a thing. He couldn't even, says he dealt with sin. Guess he didn't. Didn't work. So, we did get over right, but I want to read part of it here from this, Romans, the third chapter. In verse 24, I'm going to start reading. It says, being justified freely. In other words, I've been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word justified there could be translated righteous. In fact, it is at some spots. They translate, they justify. He said, I'm justified, or I've been made righteous freely. Why? Through grace. He said, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, this Jesus Christ, through faith to demonstrate His righteousness because of His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. Some translations translate that scripture and said that He might be righteous and the righteousness of those who have faith in Christ Jesus. Because it can be translated as so. Now, it says, then it goes on to say, where is boasting then? It is excluded. He said, by what law? Now, he's going to mention about two laws. He said, what? Of works? In other words, the law of works? He says, no, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. Under the Mosaic law, righteousness was by works. That's why under the law, no man was ever righteous. In the beginning of the chapter, it tells it, there's none righteous, no, not one. And it's talking about being under the law. There was none righteous. Why? Your works are never good enough to make you righteous. Aren't you glad Jesus dealt with that? Hallelujah. But by faith, there's a law of faith, and you need to understand this. You know, we have in the church world today that we're not under a law. Under law. Yes, you are. There's laws and rules that operate the kingdom of God, and if you don't walk in them, it's going to cost you. Just like in this natural realm, there's called a law of gravity. Go ahead and jump off this building and see if you fly away. We'll be down below with a putty knife to get you off the ground. You know? See, people, there's laws and rules. Jesus' whole teaching ministry was using parables to explain the rules of how His kingdom operates. And yet most of the church reads them and they talk all nice stuff, but they don't follow them at all. They don't follow none of theirs. There are principles laid out of how it works. There is a law of faith. And there's only one way to become righteous is through the law of faith. You cannot have it any other way. You don't get to be more righteous because you do some things right. We have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't get a higher righteousness than that. You can't get more righteous. Now, God wants us to live a more righteous life, what we carry out. Now, the righteousness we have, we should live it out. But most Christians are trying to become righteous, and that's why there's such failure in the church, such weakness in the church. People are not trying, they're out here trying to go before God. I even hear ministers, you know, say things about, you know, we do our works because, you know, we're just trying to please God. In other words, we're trying to get things from God. I don't get things from God because of my works. It would be a stench to Him if I approached Him on the basis of my works that He owes me something. He doesn't. Jesus Christ, it says all the promises of God are yes and amen. If they're all yes and amen, I don't have to work for them. Surely. There's one thing about it. We do good works because the Bible says this, you're going to reap what you sow. So you don't sow right things, and that's why a lot of people have problems in the right. They're reaping what they sow. It isn't that God's promise wasn't true to them, but they're not walking in that light. They're over here living wrong and doing wrong things and doing stuff that comes back and they get payment they don't like. I live righteous to protect my life, protect others around me. When people don't live right, when Christians are not living right, they are hurting other people around them. There is no such thing as this me stuff we got, this junk we got in the church world today. It's demonic. It's all about me. No, it ain't all about me and my relationship with God. My relationship with God is not is something that just, you know, don't matter about anybody else. That ain't God. That's the devil. That ain't love. You've heard me say this many times. I don't live this life just for me. I live this for other people. And too many Christians, that's why we just have so many seat huggers, because their Christian life's about them. That's all it is, about them. You know, I've got to go get filled up, and then I go out, you know, hang with the next guy. As long as I get what I want, you know, oh, my faith. It's about believing God for others. You want to develop your faith. So many people are happy where they're at in their faith. In other words, they don't care if anybody else gets more or not. I got what I want. See, we're not living there. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. You don't get a lot of amens on that kind of stuff, but it's true anyhow. Hallelujah. There's a law of faith, and you want to learn how that law works, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in other words, so many people are trying to please God by all their works, and they're faithless. They're doing all nice stuff. Well, I feed the poor. Well, that's great. Go feed the poor. But a lot of people feeding the poor ain't doing the will of God. They're feeding lazy people. It won't work and everything else. And the Bible says if it don't work, it shouldn't eat. And we run around and feed them anyhow. Well, who cares what the Word said? I'm so loving. I'm so wonderful and loving. God, step back. I'll take over. You know, I'll write the Bible. Come on. You know, I can do it. But we found this out in our teaching is there's a problem with Israel is what happened to Israel. And our first teaching we did was from Hebrews. And what was said in that was from Hebrews 4:2 says, to about Israel and their problem of going in the promised land. It said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well it was preached to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So we know this. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. They heard the word. They heard the gospel preached, but it said they didn't mix faith. You need to understand this. God don't mix it for you. You do. See, the preaching and teaching that, you know, going out here, well, you know, God can just do anything He wants. That has been the most wonderful lie that has been preached by the devil and put into the church. God said that Israel didn't go into the land because they didn't mix it. It didn't say God didn't want it. God wanted them in the land. God wanted, the will of God was it done. See, people will pray and say, God, whatever your will is for me, I want it. Good luck. The devil will show up with something for sure. When you know what the will of God is, you got to believe it. But we found he said that they heard the word, but they didn't mix faith. What they heard, they didn't mix faith. Well, I just thought, God, you know, this thing, I just, you know, I believe the Bible's true. Another failure statement. I believe the Bible's true. Back some years ago, they did a survey, and 80% of Americans said they believed the Bible was the Word of God. And I will guarantee you this, 75% of them never lived like it was ever true. Most believers never live like it's true. Hallelujah. We ain't doing that here. There's plenty of churches you can go to if you like places that don't live like it's true. There's a lot of them to go to. You can go have at it. The Word of God is true here. And so the Word of God, it's not just, I believe the Word of God. See, people make those statements. I believe the Word of God from Genesis and Revelation. Well, let me see, what are you living? I'll tell you what you're believing. I'll watch and see. And I'll tell you. Jesus said this, and I just assume he would be right. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. He said, didn't say, you will know them by what they say. You'll know them by what they produce. You know, you can go out here and chew. You could go out here to an orchard. And I'll tell you what, when the fruit season's in, it's easy to tell which trees are what kind. There's people I knew, they used the term Christian, and they don't produce any fruit of the Christian life. None. See, words don't make them a Christian. Just words, just saying something. See, this is why we need to understand what faith really is when it's not taught. It's a mixture of things that we put together. We're going to go in to begin to look at these things, about this mixture of these things. We want to look at it. You know, when we make something, and I want you to understand this, you know, if I wanted to bake a cake, you know, so I went out here and I got my flour, I get sugar, eggs, and whether it's milk, some cakes they put pudding in them and they do all these different things you want to add in there. You get all the ingredients together. Having the ingredients together is not a cake. It doesn't become a cake till you mix those ingredients and put it in the oven and bake it. And faith is exactly the same way. Till you have all the ingredients that the Bible says that faith is, and you mix it up and bake it, you don't have faith. Loads of people never operate in faith. We're going to do a teaching, and I'll just tell you going into it. We're going to do we're going to talk about the three areas of faith. We're not going to go through it all today, because the Lord wants me to hammer on some different things because people get over it. Number one, we do want the believing, to believe what God said is true. See, Israel had the believing. They didn't mix faith with it. And this is what they didn't do. They didn't say what God says. Number two on the list is to say the Word of God. Speak what God said. Believe what God says. Speak what God says, and then number three, do what the Word says. If those three are not in operation, you are not acting in faith. Understand this, believing something and just making statements, say you believe it, and just making statements is not faith. Because we're going to find out how you have to believe. And you can know why many times people, faith don't work, because they don't line up with Scripture on how faith works. One of the things is in this area, most people in their personal prayer life is pretty much a failure because they don't know how the principle of faith works. They don't know how it works. They want things. They think God, you need to know this going in. God is not moved by your need. If he was, then it would be without need. It's impossible to please God. If God was moved by people's needs, he'd be taking care of everybody everywhere, wouldn't he? Well, man, I checked out lately. That ain't happening. Now, the church thinks it's their job to take care of everybody's need, and they think that's Christianity. God don't even do it. And see, we need to understand these things is get over. You know, we're trying to take care of the people who don't care. We need to do some waking up, folks. A lot of Christians are going to be shocked when Jesus returns. They're going to be totally shocked to find out. But see, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ of what we did here while we were in this flesh. How sad it is. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. It did it. That did it. Unless, and Brother Hagin used to always say to us, the Bible don't say they didn't build it. Many people have built houses. They built things. They built ministries. And none of it is in the will of God. But men have done it. Today, the easiest thing is to build a feed everybody ministry. That don't take any, my God, that's the easiest thing in the world to do. You don't need to hear from heaven to do that. Just go ahead, I have at it. Everybody will show up. Give anything away, they'll line up. Down in Florida, there was a pastor down there, and they started one of these ministries. And it went on for a couple years, and he said, I'd go out in the parking lot, and all these people would show up for stuff. He said, they're driving better cars than I do. They're out here doing this stuff. These people showing up for this stuff and doing these things. He said, this is ridiculous. He said, we weren't helping nobody. You know, you don't get people in your church because you feed them. If you'll keep feeding them, they'll come and do anything you want as long as they get what they want. But you make them stand by themselves, and I'll guarantee you, they'll leave you in 2 seconds. Whatever you use to bring a person in, you're going to have to keep using that to keep them. When you stop it, they're bye-byes. I have proved that in ministry. I have worked for ministries and watched it happen. You quit taking care of people that are used to being taken care of, and what happens? They hate your guts. They will turn on you and criticize you to everybody, run you down because you didn't take care of them. You're not loving, and they never loved anybody or cared for anybody at all. And you're not allowed to judge them, but they're allowed to judge everybody. They'll say, judge not, while they're judging you. Now, the sad part of all this has been created by Christianity. Instead of teaching people how to trust God, we have tried to have to fulfill all of our own needs by, they need me. You know, they have to. I want you to know this. I don't preach because you need me. You know, whether you stay or go, I sleep good at night. That stuff don't bother me at all. I don't need a crowd to feel good about myself. I don't need a bunch of people patting me on the back. You really did good today, Pastor. Why? Because I know. I've had people tell me one time I was good, and the next time I was the most worthless thing that ever happened. So I learned it don't matter. Thank God. So this is one thing. If you grow up spiritually, you get like that. And if you don't grow up spiritually, you don't get like that. And what happens? You need the praise of people. You need to be patted all the time of how wonderful you are. And then you need people to be around you to say, man, you're really doing a good job. I'm glad Jesus didn't need that. He'd have never went to the cross. You wouldn't have went to the cross to all them scoundrels that were running you down all the time. You can't become spiritual doing those things. You can't become spiritual. As Kenneth Hagin told us, he said, you can't be moved by censure or praise. You got to come to the point where that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to me, I want to do the will of God. That's the only thing that matters, is do the will of God. Do the will of God. That's what you want to do. The best thing that ever happens to your life is when you do the will of God, because it opens the door for all the blessing of God. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this. You never have to pray. And this was in a vision. It was 2 hours, like 20 minutes. He had a vision in 1987. And the Lord said to him to tell this to the church, you don't have to ever pray to ask me to bless you. He said, if you're in my perfect will, he says, my perfect will already has my full blessing in it. The reason people are trying to get blessed, they don't know if they're in the will of God. They don't have a clue. They're trying to, and God, please bless me, bless me. It's because they don't know. They don't know. If you're in the will of God, this is what I found. There's a lot of things I don't ask for from God. I'm in his will. I'm doing what he told me to do. Loads of things he does for me, I don't ask him. I don't need it. Why? Because the blessing is in his perfect will. See, that's why we want to grow and develop so we can walk in the perfect will of God. So the blessing is there. It's ours. It belongs to us. We're living in that place where God's like, woohoo, give them that. Man, I'll tell you, let's do this. See, people are always trying to seek for something. Instead of looking to the perfect will of God, we're always trying to get something. Get in the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. It'll bless you. Glory to God. Hey, we'll get around this faith thing yet. Hallelujah. Well, we were baking a cake, weren't we? We're going to add ingredients. Now, I want to read something to you here. Let's go to Mark 11th chapter. You know, we've been teaching on faith, and I haven't got over here and read this yet, you know. Hallelujah. Well, I've been following what the Holy Ghost says to teach, so we've been there. But in Mark 11th, the 11th chapter, I want to start at verse 12, and it says this. Now, the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if it perhaps it would find something on it. It says, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now this statement goes on. Now, you know, there's one thing is I've always looked at this, and I've never heard anybody ever remark on it. Now, it isn't that somebody hasn't. I've never heard anybody remark on it. We need to understand, if you were to Israel in those days, the main, we would say, of industry or business is agriculture. That's what it runs off of. When Jesus taught his parables, he taught agriculture mostly. That's what he taught, things about agriculture. That's why. That was of their day. I'm sure he would come to us today and he would maybe use other examples of other things because, you know, weren't tied to it. But they were tied to it. Now, do you think Jesus didn't know that it was the time for figs? You think he wouldn't have known that? You know, I don't go out in April and look for apples on trees. And I ain't ever run an orchard in my life. I just know that ain't the time of the year that that happens. You need to understand what's going on here. This is called a teaching moment. Jesus said that he never did anything that he didn't see the Father do, and he never said anything that the Father didn't say. In other words, we can look at Jesus as, this just isn't by mishap or this thing happened. This is God moving to teach. He's going to talk to these guys and teach them something. He's going to instruct them. Now, what he's going to instruct them in, most Christians and most churches today's ministers don't believe that this is for today. In fact, you teach faith the way I do, you're going to get criticized by a lot of people. They don't believe in this. Oh, I'm a name it and claim it person. And I want you to know I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I am guilty. Because if you don't operate in faith. That's how I got saved, by naming it and claiming it. That's how I got born again. So it makes me wonder if anybody ever got born again in their ministries or they're just religious people. I believe a lot of them are just religious people. Hallelujah. We're going to go through and teach these things. Number one, I don't get upset that they don't like it. I was called to preach and teach these things. I'm going to preach them and teach them. They can say what they want. It don't matter. I feel sorry for them because they're just missing out on blessing. They're missing out on hooking up all the good things God wants to do for them. Hallelujah. And they're missing it. You know, as I've told the story before, I worked with people and when I first got saved. And I got over into this thing of got filled with the Holy Ghost, started talking in tongues, and then that was the devil for sure for them, and all this stuff and this, but they got over criticizing because I believed in healing and that stuff. And one day, I went to a lunchroom and sat down by myself at the table, and a whole group of these guys came from this Bible church and sat down to make fun of me, of my beliefs. Just wonderful Christian folks, looking for somebody to target to make themselves feel better. Look how wonderful I am. So they're sitting there just sort of making snickering remarks. Well, you need to make things about healing and this. And I just sat quiet. And then the Spirit of God came on me, which they know nothing about. And he came on me, and I just turned and said to them, I said, let me ask you guys a question. Do you take prayer requests for people when they're sick in church? And it got a little quiet. Because, see, they're knocking this stuff. Well, yeah, I knew their church did. Well, I said, The Bible says whatever isn't of faith is sin. I said, if you pray for those people and don't believe God's going to heal them, I said, you're in sin. I said, your church is filled with sin. Because I said, you constantly pray for things that you don't believe God's going to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, you could have heard a pin drop there. No more conversations. Now, I didn't do it because I was a genius. The Holy Spirit came on me and I just... God knows how to shut people up. God knows how to do it. And I guess they thought I was a real genius. They didn't know. I'm there, wow, where did that come from? Hallelujah. Where did that one come out of? Well, that's the working of God. That's God working in people. But the whole thing of it is, we need to understand this. And I want you to understand this concerning faith. People say, we don't believe God heals. But we believe God makes people sick for a reason. Well, if God makes sick for a reason, if you don't know that if God made you sick and it's Him making you sick for a reason, it is a sin to go to the doctor to try to get the will of God off of you. It's a sin. If you believe God made you sick for a purpose, it is a sin to try to get God's purpose off your life. Why would you go? Say, God, I don't want your purpose on me. I'm going to go down and get this guy to help you get your will off of me. People say, well, He does it to humble you. Oh, He humble you? What, are you trying to not to get humbled? You see, religion is nonsense. What I'm amazed at, people can't figure this out. When I was a kid and went to church, I knew they were nuts, half of them, because of the things they said. They said, we love God, and He killed my child. Well, why are they mad at the guy that murdered somebody and want to get him in jail? Wouldn't we be patting him on the back? He did the will of God. This is one of the reasons why we have trouble teaching in the church today, because Christians are filled with wrong believing and they want to hear something new that's true, but they don't get the junk out of them. If you don't get the junk out of you, you just keep going on in the same way. You can't take a cup of dirty water. We're just going to pour another more water in it. I pour clean water in it. Now that makes it clean. It don't. You got to get things out. We got to get religious thinking and religious junk out of us. When I read the Bible and find out that my little thing that I thought wasn't right, I need to be a believer enough and humbled enough to say, you know, that's wrong. I shouldn't be believing the way that I am. Most people never repent of their unbelief. They just go on in it and just add something else to it that might be true, but they have tainted faith, and we're going to find out that don't work. God has a teaching moment. Hallelujah. Thank God He did. There's a teaching moment here that you and I can grab a hold of out of here. So this teaching moment that God has, He's going to do something here. And so we have there's a gap in there because Jesus did some other things, but we're going down to verse 20 to where we find out the events of what happened here. It says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter remembered, said to him, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, in literal Greek, in the literally says, have the faith of God, or have faith like God has. Number one, now there, I've been criticized for saying that. People, you can't have faith like God. If faith comes by hearing His word and it's His faith, if I get it, it's like His. If it isn't like His, it ain't going to produce. So forget it. It has to be like His. You have to have faith. God's word has His faith in it. It don't have my faith in it. Dear God, you're in trouble. It has His faith in it. When I hear it, faith comes to me. His faith comes to me. So I am to have faith like He has faith. Now, He's going to make statements that you can have faith in. Faith comes by hearing the Word. And so He's going to tell us how God operates in faith. And we're going to find this out. It's the same way that the world was created in the beginning. Identically to how the earth was created. It's just like God. If your faith is not like God's faith, don't expect answers. Don't expect them. God gave you and I the ability to have His faith. It's for everybody. Everybody can have it. Or we can believe what religion says. We have a choice. You know, a lot of people, I always like this, you know, people say, well, he said this. Yeah, but he didn't really mean that. He meant this. Look, if Jesus didn't really mean it, God didn't really mean it, he should have been right up front and told us. There is so much added to Scripture today by men that they're so confusing out here for people that people can't walk by faith, because many times ministers are preaching their gospel. The Apostle Paul warned the church at Galatians and said, if somebody comes preaching another gospel or another Jesus, don't listen to it. Today, churches are filled. Churches that once followed the Word of God don't anymore and preach a different gospel. But many people are following their faith, but it isn't God's faith. If the gospel they preach don't line up with the Word, that's why I'm a stickler for the Word. I'm not stickler for gifts of the Spirit. I'm a stickler for the Word, because the Word is the yardstick to measure everything. It's what keeps me in line. Folks, I need to be kept in line. And you do too. And so you always want to have the measuring stick of the Word. Now, our wonderful Jesus said this. So to me, I really don't, whatever men say about her, people say, I'm really not interested. He's number one on the list of interest. John G. Lake, who had an absolutely astronomical ministry, his ministry really is, we compare, look what the Bible tells us in the book of Acts. He had 1,000 times more miracles than the book of Acts ever had. But his big thing was, is if Jesus made a statement about something, it matters not what anybody else said. He is the top of the list. I don't care what some preacher says on TV that got 60,000 followers. I don't care if it isn't in line with the Word. I'm not interested in his opinion. I'm interested in what Jesus said. If Jesus said something, let's take it at face value. Here's what Jesus said. For assuredly, I say to you, in the Greek, that word's assuredly, that would be the same as we used to use, but we don't anymore. You don't have to tell the truth in court anymore. You don't even need it. In fact, we don't even need courts. You can be, you know, hung by public opinion. We don't need that. But they used to do this. They used to do, swear on the Bible that what you're telling is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's what it means is. When Jesus said here, and it's been translated, assuredly I say to you, in other words, this is the truth I'm telling you. So this is the truth. So if anybody says it's other than some other way, they're not telling the truth. Or we have to stop and say, you know, Jesus didn't tell the truth. Now, which one are you going to believe? Now, I know you people got more sense than this. Well, at least if you don't have more sense than that, don't act like it. Oh, my words. Well, if you can't say amen, say oh me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But listen to what Jesus says. In other words, I'm telling you the truth. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Listen to that. I'm saying that, just Jesus said, look, I'm saying this. He said, whoever says to this mountain, he didn't say, you disciples. Now this is this ended when the disciples. That was in. It doesn't say that. It says whoever. Jesus did not say you disciples. Cause the people who say this isn't for today, it works perfectly for them. Because in their lives they have what they say. This works. This works for good or bad. This is faith. Whatever you believe in your heart and don't doubt, you can produce it. We're going to, as we go on in teaching in this series, you're going to find out. Whatever you do, you put words in your heart and you get them to where you believe them and you don't doubt it. I've watched people destroy. I've done funerals for people that you couldn't get them to turn. And what they believed and kept saying, killed them. See, you don't want to get over and be one of these people. I see people all the time, you know. Man, they got this negative junk that they talk all the time, and they're all the time, their mouth is going. You know, when they started off, it wasn't in their heart, but over the years, they get that stuff where they get in their heart and they don't doubt it. And after a while, it starts coming to pass. And this is where these people, well, you know, if it's God's will, you know, and God's in control of everything. That isn't what Jesus just said here. He said, you're going to have what you say. He didn't say you're going to get what God said. He said, you're going to have what you believe in your heart, with not doubting. Now, I want you to get this. This is number one on the agenda. The first thing is believing something from God is not just, I believe that. You believe it in your heart with no doubt in your heart. In your heart, you have any doubt. If you have doubt in your heart, you cannot produce it. I don't care what you say. You must get it into your heart without doubting. There's a thing that Randall Greer has taught and said over there. I thought he did a good job when he's talking about it. He said, dealing with this area, he said, dealing with confession, number one, we don't confess the word to get God to do anything. We're not confessing the word of God. God already claimed what he did. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, it said of him, he says, he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. 2,000 years ago, you know, Peter wrote, by his stripes I was healed. That's a written fact. That's not a statement of promise. That's a statement of fact. That's not promise. That's fact. It's already done. That's a statement of fact. Now, but we have, it says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. In other words, everything God said is a yes and amen in our covenant. Everything is a yes and amen. See, you have not come to faith if you're trying to get God to do something. You can't be in faith. You can't push God to do something he didn't want to do. You can't do that. That'll never happen. What God said he won't do, God changes not. We're the people that are supposed to change. Not him. He's not going to change. I'm not trying to get God to heal me because he did. He said, by his stripes, I was healed. See, people don't agree with that. You know, I'm believing God for healing. Well, I'm sorry, but using the word for there means that you don't believe you got it. You're trying to get it. I'm trying to believe for it. I don't believe for it. The Bible tells you believe you receive it. It's the same way you get born again. I don't say I'm believing for salvation. I believe I receive it and I get it. That's how you get it, believing. You receive it. See, most people, baptism of the Holy Ghost is the same thing. God ain't going to give anybody the Holy Ghost. He's already sent the Holy Ghost the day of Pentecost. It's already here. He ain't going to send it. It's already the promise of the Father. People are asking God for the Holy Ghost. What on earth for? You're supposed to receive it. See, this is why people have such difficulty. Because even among so-called faith teachers, they teach like we're trying to get God to do something he's already done. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And we're saying, no, we have to try to get it from him. The Bible keeps putting everything in the past tense, and the church keeps putting it in the future tense, calling it faith. There's no faith in it. God ain't going to bless me in the future. God blessed me before I ever accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. I just got into the covenant. Now I'm in the place to receive the blessings. But they were there and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were already there. Salvation has been given to every human on the face of the earth. Hell is filled with people with forgiven sin. Well, you know, you need to get saved, get your sins forgiven. I'm sorry, Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. We have the gospel of reconciliation to tell people God's not holding sin against them. And the church says, yes, he is. You need to ask him to forgive you. We preach such heathen gospel. This stuff got to stop. This is the weakness of faith. See, this stuff has been put into you, has been put into you by religion. And so you can't receive the blessing of God until you throw that junk out. Boy, you tell most Christians to get somebody saved, they don't have to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sin. They'll get mad as you as a hornet because that's the basis of their whole salvation is you got to get your sins forgiven. If you have to get your sins forgiven, Jesus is going to have to go back to the cross. He's going to have to die for your sins like he didn't do it. He already did it. Our gospel of reconciliation saying sin ain't the problem. It's receiving the one who forgave you of your sin. That's what we do. It's receiving Christ. As many as receive him, not as many as receive the forgiveness of sin, as many as receive him. Hallelujah. I got saved one night. I accepted Jesus. I received what God gave me in Jesus Christ. And that time, when I stepped into that, I stepped into the place where I could receive every blessing that God had for me. Now, I didn't know about them all. I had to read the book. I had to listen to some good teaching. And I'll tell you what, I thank God, because there was a lot of bad teachers out there, a lot of bad stuff, and God kept me away from it. Because I learned early how to listen to my spirit, listen on the inside, and not go filled with a bunch of junk and come back and couldn't believe, well, what was true. And see, we got to listen to what's true. Your salvation is greater than you've been told. This is why people had to be, they try to understand with their mind. I want to tell you, my mind, sometimes I look at the Bible and look at the Word says, and my brain goes tilt. My brain can't comprehend it. And I'm thank God, I don't have to get it in my brain. I got to get it in my heart. Hallelujah. I just say, praise God, it's true. And I start saying it's true. I don't care if everybody else says it ain't true. It don't matter to me. I'm in the business of pleasing God. Hallelujah. Getting His Word in me. The best thing that I can do for anybody, even for the people who don't like me, the best thing I can do for them is follow God. Not to try to start a ministry that pleases them, which we are doing today. I mean, in full bore, trying to make a religion of a Christianity that pleases the sinner. I'm seeker friendly. No one comes to the Father, comes to the Son, unless the Father draw them. If God ain't drawn, today we have humans drawing people. And then call it Christianity, call it love, you can call it any old thing you want. This is why we have so unchanged people coming to Christ. Because they don't get born again, they come for the salvation that man offers. I'm going to tell you, I got the salvation that God has offered through Jesus Christ, and it revolutionized my life. Turned me into something I never was before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People need changed. People need changed. We need to have a believing that we don't doubt. See, that's the first one. It's coming to the place where you believe and you don't doubt. Now, what's he talking about in your heart? See, in your heart. In your heart. See, you can believe something in two different places. You can believe it in your mind. Or you can believe it in your heart, on the inside of you. He said believing in your heart. That's your human spirit. That's the part of you that's born again. Your human spirit, when you got born again, it is the perfect ground to put God's seed in to produce. It's the perfect ground. See, when I got born again, the Bible, you know, Jesus told people about protecting their heart, about watching, concern your heart. Watch what you put into it. Watch what you receive from people that says true. I had a wonderful teacher, Kenneth E. Hagin, and he always told us all the time, you don't believe it because I say it. You go to the Bible and see if it says it. Why? Because if you accept things that aren't, you're putting seed in yourself that can produce quickly a lot of trouble for you. The soil that we have is phenomenal in us, the born-again human spirit. And that's why Christians sometimes seem to get in trouble quicker than the sinner. Because this nice, beautiful soil in us, this human spirit that's been born again, they throw junk seeds in there, and those junk seeds come to pass quick. I found this out. I grew up very fast spiritually. It's one of the things, it's because the Lord spoke to me and told me, He said, I want you to stay close to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. I don't want you going off and listening to a bunch of other people. I don't want you to do that. What he did for me, because Kenneth Hagin taught a lot of foundational stuff. When I came into the kingdom, there was always people running around talking about end times, and they knew nothing about today. When I look back, and it's like, you know, I said, all those books they wrote, they need to be in the trash and burnt because they've already proved they aren't right. So, you know, they did all that stuff. But I listened to what God said. God told me, stay close. I stayed close over on a teacher who was teaching me foundational principles. So I got really good stuff. I know a lot of people around me came in the kingdom the same time, got full of junk, listening to this guy, going to this, going to that, just running here and there. Here. You know, they were hungry, but they were stupid. You know, they were like the baby crawling around the floor eating the bugs. And that's what they were doing. They were crawling around the floor eating the bugs. And what they needed, see, what I needed, God gave me. I needed to sit down and listen to people that were teaching foundational. I didn't need an end times teaching. What I needed was to learn how, you know, and what those is foundational teachings taught me how to behave. We don't have that in the church anymore. They're trying to make spiritual people without behavior. If you ain't got the behavior, you're not spiritual. Get over it. Praise God. If what I know being spiritual can't keep me under control, then I ain't got it. We ought to be able to, you know, some things are just downright easy to measure. You know, nobody's spiritual who can't control their flesh. Spirituality is being able to control your flesh. It ain't some hard woo-woo things like, ooh, I just have a spiritual feeling. Ooh, this really feels good. Oh, I must really be a spiritual because I've got this feeling. It's how you act when you ain't got no feelings. It's what you do then. That's going to measure what you are. That's what's going to measure things. You're measured under pressure. You're not measured in good times. You're measured under pressure. When you're squeezed, what comes out of you? What happens? Does flesh come out of you? The wrong things come out of you when things get tough and things get hard? What's coming out of you? This stuff ain't rocket science, folks. It's so easy to figure out whether you're spiritual or not. I just look at my life sometimes and say, man, I need some fixing over here. Other people are always trying to go get fixed somewhere. I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't working on fixing you, ain't nobody in the world can help you get fixed. If you can't tell that you're a mess, you got a problem because everybody else knows. Woo, good preaching. Hallelujah. We don't hide. We're not hiding, are we? I always get these people that, and I really, because that's the great deception of Satan on people's lives is to make them think nobody knows. While everybody is walking around saying, boy, I wish they'd straighten that out. The devil will do that. He'll do that. He'll make you think you can keep things hidden when the whole time they're out in plain view of everyone. Hallelujah. Praise God, you know. Measure yourself. Glory to God. You know, if you're messed up in an area, I want to help you get straight. You know, I ain't going to throw rocks at you. I've been messed up in my life. I've been there. I've been in the mess up. Get it straight. But as long as you try to hide it, nobody can help you. It never gets changed. It just keeps going on the same direction. Now, let me just say this. Be careful of who you want to help you, because there's some people to help you, they want to get you under their foot. Somebody's interested in you going somewhere. You just don't tell everybody what your problem is. And I'm talking Christian. Because when you want you tell them, the whole world knows. It's one thing is I don't like a lot about prayer, you know, teams and prayers. Too much stuff goes to too many people that talk too much. I want to know people personally who I ask them to pray for me. Too many prayer people pray for what they want in a person's life. Oh, yes. They use prayer, which ends up to be demonic and opens up spirits because they begin to pray to pressure and start putting pressure in the spirit to change you to what they want you to be. Many people use prayer trying to force people into what they want. I don't care, a sinner, I'm not going to try to force him into Christian. You can get over and press and push over in the areas of spirit and open doors to demonic powers and make things worse than what they were. God's willing that all, you know, should come to repentance, that everybody ought to be saved, come to repentance. But he forces nobody to do it. We pray for people out of love that they would hear and respond, but we don't try to force them into anything. There's one thing that you'll find with me. You try to force me into something, I'll close the door on you in 2 seconds. You ain't forcing me into something because I know that spirit. I know that's wrong. I know that spirit, that force. It isn't. It's not right. And say, we don't use prayer life trying to make people do what we want. That's not what prayer is about. But that's lots of times that's what people's about. You know, they're out there hounding God, trying to get God to do what his will says he won't. And they think if I stay at it a long time, he'll be like the unjust judge, that God's going to become the unjust judge and say, I'm going to do this for that person just because they give me a hard time. That's what we have in our nation. If you're a big bully, the courts do what you want. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's honest and straight. He won't. He won't do that. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful God. Hallelujah. He's better than us. We found out about this believing in your heart. Understand, he said this, and one of the things, a revelation that Kenneth Hagin got, and this is a revelation that Kenneth Hagin, he was one day praying in a church when he pastored, and he was had been spending a lot of time praying, and he was going over reading these scriptures. He was actually reading through the book of Mark. He was actually going through the whole book. He had been spending time with God and praying, and then he had his Bible, he said, laying on the altar in the church, and he was reading down through, and it got to these scriptures. And he said he was just meditating on some things. He said, and I laid on my back on the floor, and he said, I was just looking up in the air, and I was just sort of meditating on the things that I read. And he said, all inside of him, a voice said, did you notice that Mark 11:23 says, believe one time, and says, say three times? And he said, well, no, I never noticed that. I never noticed it said that. So he went and got his Bible and looked at it. And if you look at Mark 11:23, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And the Spirit of the Lord said this to him, and it was really a wonderful revelation because it was needed in that time and it's needed today. He said, you're going to have to teach people three times more about saying than you are believing. He said, many of my people believe what the Word says, but that ain't what they're saying. That's not what they're saying. It's not what they're saying. One of the big things is getting people into the saying right. Many people have what they used to talk about years ago. They say, you know, the Indians say, speak with forked tongue. Most Christians speak with forked tongue. They are saying what God's Word says sometime, and then they're saying something else, another. They have two conversations of their speech going on all the time. They're over here telling you they're believing God, they're healed, and over here, but the doctor says he ain't got no cure, and it bums them out. It's like, well, see, they're not believing. They're making confessions. They're saying, I'm healed. Over on this side, I'm not. Over on this side, I am. Over on this side, I'm not. They're talking two different ways. James said this. James, well, eventually we'll go over and look at some of these scriptures, but I just want to tell you, James said this, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. If your flesh is out of control, it's because of your mouth. It ain't because of God. It ain't because you were raised wrong or my family this or my family. It's your fault. Your mouth. When I came and got that revelation from God from a little book Kenneth Hagin wrote, it's called Don't Blame God. And it's this nice little book. And I got that book and I read it and I thought, my God, the whole world, the whole church world needs to get this because 99% of them don't have a clue. Because all this stuff that God does, and I thought, dear Lord, he said, Kenneth Hagin said this, he said this to us, I went and heard him say this to us as students, I've heard it on tapes already, he said, don't blame anybody else for the way your life has turned out, you made it that way. See, it's one thing a child might live under bondage, but when I grew up, I decided how I was going to live. Everything from that on, I made a mess. Not God, I made it a mess. I know many people come into the kingdom of God and they've done nothing but make their life a mess. And then they tell people, well, this is just what God has for me, and this is just, they go on to all this stuff. No, it isn't. It's what they have made it into. Because they don't change. And I want you to understand this. Is this why it's so important? The number one thing is to get into the Word of God, to sit down, listen to sound teaching, take the Word of God yourself, begin to speak the Word of God concerning your life, beginning to say things. You're not going to believe it right away. You know, in the Bible, when I first heard Kenneth Hagin teach that I was the righteousness of God, Christ Jesus, I thought, my words, I'd almost have to lie to say that. Because why? I was measuring myself by what I saw of me rather than measure myself against the Word of God. God said, I'm righteous, and I'm thinking, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. God says, you're righteous. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. God said, you're healed. Do you know there's one, all of you right now, you have been healed the whole time trying to get healing. Jesus already took your infirmities, bore his sicknesses. By his stripes, you were healed, past tense. God's already healed me. When I found out I was already healed, my words, I'll tell you what, it was one of the exciting things I ever found in my life. When I found out I was healed, I never tried to get healed again. When something come knocking on my door, I'd say, we ain't having that because I'm healed. I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. Jesus Christ healed me 2,000 years ago. Whatever this flaky thing is, devil, you and your bunch, get it and go someplace else where somebody likes it and believes God gives it to it. You can take it to them because they'll accept it. But I'm not. I'm not taking it. because it's not mine. I was healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I was. Now, I was just a young Christian when I found that out. In fact, from January 1980, I learned how to, right after that, through just a short period of time, I got that revelation that I was healed. My word, just revolutionized, changed my life. Never missed a day of work since or anything like that because of sickness and disease. I had a record different than that before. But when I found out I was healed, see, most faith teachers are teaching people how to get healed. You got to try to. I ain't trying to get healed. Jesus already took my infirmities and already bore my sicknesses. That happened before I was ever born on the face of the earth. Jesus already gave me my healing before I was ever born. You talk about good news. My God, that's wonderful news. When I got that revelation, when that finally dawned on me, I remember listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. He was saying those things, but I wasn't listening correctly. When that revelation finally dawned on me, oh my God, I was healed. Whether people understand, I know people do it from a babyhood standpoint, but to ask God to heal you is in a sense a slap in the face, like he didn't do what he said he did. Asking God to do what he did. How would you like it if you did something to your kids and they just keep coming and ask you to do it? Hey, would you do it? Would you do it? Say, well, I did it for you. No. Would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? You'd think, man, this kid's an idiot. We better see a psychiatrist. This boy needs help. Did you ever think Jesus looks at the church like that? What's wrong with these people? I said I gave it to him. They said, no, you didn't. No. You got to give it to me, Lord. Give it to me. I got to have it. Give it to me, Lord. Yeah, do this for me. Do that for me. They don't be the problem. Look, anything, I've said this many times, and you're going to hear me say it many more times. Anything that you are going to God for, if he has not already said it's yours, you could not believe you receive it. Impossible. You can't believe, and Mark 11:24 tells us when we pray, we're supposed to believe we receive it if we want to have it. If he didn't give it, you have no foundation to believe you receive it. You're going to have to hear him say, okay, you're allowed to have that. Because you can't believe you receive it till you know he said yes. And we have the scripture. It says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's why I can look at anything in the scriptures and I can say it's mine. The scripture says you're redeemed from the curse of the law. You are redeemed. You're not going to be redeemed. Sickness and disease, all that junk is listed under the curse. I am already redeemed of that. God is not going to redeem me from it. When I received Christ, you were redeemed from the curse of the law. Quit trying to get redeemed from the curse of the law and accept it as a fact. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. We sing a song about being redeemed, and you know what people mostly think? Forgiveness of sin. Redemption bought every promise of God. The promises that God gave Israel, all those promises, the blessing under the law, they all belong to us. People said that was just to the Jews. Well, if it was, then I wasn't redeemed from the curse of the law. The church has preached a lot of false doctrine. I'm redeemed. The blessing that Abraham has is mine. The New Testament says it is. I don't care what these religious people say. They can say anything they want. It's already mine. Hallelujah. I'm already the head, not the tail. I'm already above and not beneath. I'm blessed going out and I'm blessed coming in. Hide and watch. Hallelujah. It's already mine. The blessing has already been given. I'm not trying to get the blessing. I have it. See, if you don't talk this way, you're always going to be over on that side trying to get something from God. You need to get your confession on your mouth heading in the right direction with what the Word says. You're going to destroy everything. James said, in writing of James, faith without, in New King James and King James say faith without works. Some say this, faith without action or faith without corresponding action is what it's talking about. Faith that doesn't have corresponding action is dead. See, most people's actions don't correspond to their faith. Even their confession don't. Their actions don't. And what they say, well, I'm trusting God. They have never trusted God at all. They haven't trusted God one night. They haven't trusted nothing. Because their confession is a non-trust confession. And their actions are non-trust actions. And they say, we're in faith. No, you're not. You ain't getting no cake out of that thing. You ain't baking nothing out of that thing but death and whatever else. But there ain't no cake somebody's going to want to eat come out of that thing. And see, we need to bring some things together, hallelujah, in the church. We need to bring some things together to get things in line. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want to stop there because, I mean, we could go on. I get over there and the anointing on me. Dear God, hallelujah. I could take a running spell this morning. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God, most of last night laying in bed, couldn't sleep. Just anointing come on me to pray and to do things. I was like, whew. And I thought, I woke up this morning, I thought, man, I get back over there again, it's going to wear me out. Hallelujah. The anointing. Well, the anointing's there, you don't feel so tired. It's when you go home and it leaves and you're like, whew, my words. Let's go sit down somewhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God's good, and we're going to push on these things because I want to come to you to come to the place that you don't doubt what the Scripture says to you and what the Word declares about you, that you'll stand because, see, there's things that need to be done and brought into this earth. There's things that need to be changed. If we can't follow this principle, they will never change. I don't care how much God wants them change. They will not change. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose will be loosed in heaven. Not God, us. Whatever you'll allow to go on, God will let it go. Well, God will always do what He wants. Well, I'll tell you what. If God is doing whatever He wants on the earth, He has sure made a mess of it. Then God would be our problem in America. Why would we pray to Him? If He's done this mess that we're living in, He's done this thing, and it's His will, then what on earth would we want to pray to change it? I'd be stupid, wouldn't it? Go against His will? You know, He wants this mess going on. No, He don't. He wants everybody saved. That's what He wants. He wants His blessing flowing like a river. He wants days of heaven in the earth. That's what He wants. Hallelujah. And I get them. And I'm going to have more of them in these last days of heaven and the earth. I'll tell you what, glory to God, I've been hooking into things. Whew, my God. Heaven's moving, folks. Heaven's moving. And you don't even have to do much of anything to get tied into it if you just understand a little bit about faith. Or you can just keep listening to preachers telling you, someday down the road, yeah, we're going to have these big things happen sometime. And sometime down the road, this is going to, sometime down the road's that. Well, I'm sorry, I ain't going on their road. I'll tell you what, I'm here. 1950, Kenneth E. Hagin in a vision, Jesus appeared to him and told him that America was in its last revival. He told you've entered the time of the miraculous. These last days, he said, are equivalent to the days of Noah. In other words, we have a message telling people, you know, he had the flood, we have Jesus is coming back. And we have that message. And we're supposed to, we're like in those last days, and we're living in the days of the miraculous. We're not waiting for the days of the miraculous. The days of the miraculous are here. The church has not walked in faith with what God said. The church is living in unbelief, waiting for God to do. How can you believe what you receive, what He didn't say He did, is going to do? That's hope, to believe down the road He'll do it someday. That's hope. That ain't faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hope has no substance till one believes. Hope has no substance. You have no guarantee of a hope coming to pass. No guarantee of it. It'll always be out in the future. You can never touch it till you come to faith. Your hopes and dreams of life, that's why we look at the promise of God, because now we reach out and grab those hopes that we had and yank them to us. They're ours. I'm not waiting for it in 10 years. I got it now. It belongs to me. God gave it to me. Hallelujah. Stand up or I'll preach another sermon. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. The more I talk the word, the more fired up I get. Hallelujah. Some things are hard to shut down, man. I tell you what. I don't know if this did you any good today, but it did me a lot of good. It did me a lot of good. I'm going to tell you, you're the church of Jesus Christ. You're the saints of God. Hallelujah. He has major, major places He wants you to walk in, and glory He wants you to walk in. Hallelujah. And we're going to go there. Hallelujah. The good work that He started in you, it says He'll bring it to completion. If He don't, He's a liar. I'm going to tell you, see, I'm going to agree with the Bible says. Well, you just don't know how things are going to turn out. I'm sorry, I read the book. I know how I'm going to turn out. I'm going to turn out complete in the will of God. Hide and watch. If the good work he started in me is coming to a completion, I'm going to get completed in spite of how stupid I look. God's going to finish in this boy what he started. I don't have no confidence that I could do it, but I have great confidence that he will. That's who I have to have faith in. Not looking at my ability or what I am, but I'll tell you, he said it, and if he don't, one day I can look him in the face and say, I've trusted you and you lied. That'll never happen. If I trusted him and I did it according to the mixture of faith, I'll have it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my part. My part ain't to make it happen. My part is to believe, like the scripture says what believing is, and he will do it. Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah. Father, you have a great people. They're a great people. Hallelujah. Lord, I think many don't realize how great they are in this world. Surely that what you've did and what you've offered to the church. My words, people are just trying to reach out for a little bit when you've offered them, my, so much. Lord God, to all these Bill Gates millionaire, billionaires and stuff, they are nothing compared to the glory that has been put in the church. Nothing compared to the glory that's in the church. The glory that's in the church is so phenomenal and so incredible. Hallelujah. It can't be measured by a denomination of money or anything else. It's measured only by your glory. And Lord God, I know this, we will never in this age and time ever see the extent of your glory. One day when we get the new suit, we'll be able to go over and look at it. And I thank you for that. But right here on this side, Lord God, we get tastes of that glory. And it's just, oh my words, it is so phenomenal. Lord God, just to look in the graciousness and the wonder of your word, of what you have given to us. Lord God, it's so incredible. It is so blessed. It is so wonderful that you handed people just like us all this wonderful glory and you put it in our hands. Lord, it's like you told me. You said, I said, how far can we go with this? And you said to me, Lord, how far do you want to go? That, Lord, that blows my mind that you would offer me such a thing. Because, Lord, I don't know that I'd have ever offered me that. Hallelujah. But you said however far you want to go, you can. And I want to thank you, Lord. I believe there's a people here that have a craving for greater. They have a craving for further. They have a craving for more. And Lord God, that's found in knowing you. That's found in comprehending you. That's found in understanding you. And Holy Spirit, we can't go to that place without you. We're counting on you, Holy Spirit, to help us reach the mark. You're the great teacher. And I tell you what, Holy Spirit, we're going to be. We're going to be great students. That's what we're going to be. We're going to be great students. And we're going to let you teach us. We're going to let you instruct us. We're going to let you guide us. We figured, Holy Ghost, you're the know-it-all, and we're not. Hallelujah. And you do know it all. And I thank you, Lord God, you will take revelations and all that glory that you know, and you're going to reveal it to us, not so we can just have more information, but so we can do it and walk in. And God's glory just be revealed in this earth to humanity. Hallelujah. That men can look and say, you know, there is a God in heaven. There is a real God. There is a God that we can serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us, but also through us, in Jesus' name. Amen.